We're indeed thankful for your presence here this Lord's Day. We've been studying a series of lessons in regard to the truth, not to the truth according to me or according to men, but the truth according to the Word of God. And today we want to discuss what the Bible has to say about love. We discussed this topic recently, but today in our society, it seems that this term love is something that we throw around. You know, I remember it wasn't too long ago that, you know, there was a commercial about, you know, we love baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. And so we talk about things that we love, and not necessarily using the word in the sense that it's used in the scripture. So in our study today, we want to examine the truth revealed by the Word of God in regard to love. So let's begin our study and open your Bibles and open your minds, and let's begin to understand love as is revealed to us by the Word of God. Look in John the 15th chapter, John chapter 15 and verses 9 through 14. It says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is the commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Here, Jesus is teaching his disciples about love. And he talks about this commandment that they are to love one another. And he talks about that they are to love one another as he has loved them. So he gives us this example. And what we want to understand is sometimes in this world of sin and evil and darkness, man cannot see a sense of that there is a God of love, because we see all the evil things that happen, right? The violence, the lives that are taken. What we need to understand is these things are a result of sin in the world, and sin, of course, always brings about death. So when we look at the truth about love, we want to note that God loves man. God has always loved man because God is the creator. We are his creation. And God desires to have fellowship with us, and God's going to provide everything that we need in order to have that fellowship. Remember, when God placed man in the garden, everything that God had created, what does the scripture say? He saw that it was very good. Everything that God created was good. Who messed up the situation in the garden? Man did. Man's the one who chose to sin, who chose to ignore the love that God had expressed to him by providing everything needed for him in that situation. The Bible clearly declares and is plain that God is love, and it's expressed from the very beginning that we can see in Genesis to the very end. If you go to 1 John the 4th chapter and look there in 1 John chapter 4 at verses 7 through 10, and God once again reaffirms his love for us. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us. How did God make his love known to you and to me? This is how it was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The Bible states as truth that God is love. How did God exemplify his love to you and to me? He exemplified it and manifested it by sending his Son. Did we deserve for God to do that? No, we deserve to die in our sin, but he sent his Son to pay the price for our sin so we could be redeemed, so we could have the forgiveness of sin. And God made redemption available to whom? To just the Jews? To just his people? No, God made redemption available to all men. It just wasn't to Israel. It just was not to the Jews. In John 3:16, the scripture states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See, God is no respecter of persons. God so loved the world. He loves all men. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter what class you're in. It doesn't matter the level of your education. God loves all men and desires for all men to have the salvation that's available and to be redeemed by the blood of his Son, Jesus, because that was an act of love that he gave his Son. He sacrificed his Son. He did not pick and choose who he made his love available to. And if we're honest, sometimes we're guilty of that, right? We pick and choose who has our favor, who we will love. See, it's difficult for us to love like God does, but that's the example we need to be striving to follow. God loves all men. We need to love all men. We need to be concerned about all men hearing the gospel so they can be redeemed, so they can have the forgiveness of their sins. It's also interesting to note that God so loved the world, so he wasn't a respecter of persons. He didn't pick and choose, but he exemplified his love toward the world while we were still in sin. Turn over to Romans, the fifth chapter, Romans chapter 5, and look at verses 6 through 8. It says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." That's me. That's you. We're the ungodly. Christ died for. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So God exemplified his love toward us while we were yet in our sins, when we were at enmity with God, when we would have been considered the enemy of God. And we all know that it's difficult for us to love our enemy, right? Now, we're instructed in the Word that we are to love our enemies, but is that something that is easy for us to do? It's not something that's easy for us to do, is it? But we need to understand that's the way God loves man. Even when we were at enmity against him, even when we were sinners, dying in our sins, not bringing any glory to God, to his Son, or the church that he purchased with his precious blood, God loved us. And he made his mercy, his grace, his compassion available to us. That's the type of love that God has for man. Now, we didn't deserve that love, that mercy, or that grace. But God gave it to us anyway. God gave it to us anyway. Look in Ephesians chapter 2, and what we're going to see is God's grace and his love, they go hand in hand. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 and begin reading there in verse 4. Ephesians 2 and begin reading in verse 4. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead," we talked about this morning in Bible class, "that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You see, it's impossible to talk about God and not speak of His mercy, of His grace, of His favor that He's made available to us through His Son. Now, God commended His love toward us by sending His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He sacrificed Him. And that was Him showing us His mercy, His grace, and how that is always connected to love. You think about this. Are you going to show mercy, grace, or compassion to someone if you do not have love in your heart? No, you will not do that. You will not do that. But if you do have love in your heart, then what will it be made manifest by? By acts of compassion, of mercy, and grace. And that's how God acted toward us. So we have Him as this great example of love. So we need to seek to follow that. And we need to think about, where would we be without the favor of God? Where would we be without the love of God? The answer is bluntly, we'd be lost in our sins. We'd be doomed to spend eternity in a devil's hell. If it were not for the love of God, if it were not for the grace of God and His kindness and His goodness toward us. Turn over to Romans the 8th chapter. Romans the 8th chapter. I want to look there beginning in verse 36. Romans 8. I'm going to begin a little bit earlier than what it says there on the board. Verse 36, and I'm going to read down through verse 39. It says, "As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Who's the one who loved us that allows us to conquer sin and death? And it's God, isn't it? It's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's how that's able to take place. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." We're sinners. We deserve to die in our sin. But the only reason that we can be victorious and that we can conquer sin and we can conquer death is because of the love of Christ. It's because of that love that we have access to grace. Now, the way we take advantage of grace is through our faith and obedience. We have to listen to what God says if we want to receive His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness, and we have to be willing to obey that. We have to be willing to follow that in our lives. So I think the Bible makes it plain that God, that His Son, loved man. In the plan of redeeming man is just an unveiling of the love of God and His plan to save us, and His plan to add us to the church, the body of which Christ is the head. Now, the Bible also speaks about the various types of love that men have. And sometimes man's love is not even close to being on the plane of God's love, because there are things that we love sometimes that the Bible speaks of that are not righteous, that are not holy, that are not honorable, that are not following the doctrine and the teaching of Christ. Let's look at a few of the things that men love. And then what we have to do is we have to determine which things we're going to choose to love in this life. Nobody is going to force you to love someone or something. You're going to choose to do that. You're going to make that choice. I'm not going to make that choice for you. You will make that choice. Now, Paul realized that there are a lot of choices out there in the world. And he warns Timothy. Timothy is a younger man. And he warns Timothy about some of these things he needs to be careful about, because he does not want Timothy to fall in love with the wrong things. So let's look in the way that Paul discussed these things. Look in 2 Timothy 3 and verses 1 and 2. I'm probably going to read a little further. I'm probably going to read down to verse 5. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Well, why, Paul, are perilous times going to come? Now, remember, what was the most important commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might, right? But look what man had chosen to love. In the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, because that's what man chooses to do. Not that's what God wants you to do. Not that's what's the profitable thing for you to do, but that's what men choose to do. For men will be lovers of themselves. It doesn't end there. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty. Notice this next phrase, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, what should we love? We should love God. We should love God with all our heart. But sometimes this world and the temptations that it casts upon us, we can easily, if we're not careful, fall in love with the pleasures of the things of this world. That's easy to do in the age in which we live. Worldliness is a problem. Worldliness is a problem in the Lord's church. Covetousness, coveting the things of this world, is a problem. And if we're not careful, brethren, we can fall in love with these things instead of being in love with God. So we need to be very careful. Look also at the example that Paul gives in 2 Timothy 4 chapter and verse 10. It's not a positive example, but he gives an example. He gives the example of Demas. And he says, for Demas has forsaken me. Why, Paul? Why in the world would Demas forsake you? Having loved this present world. That's why Demas forsook Paul. And you know why we will forsake the Lord? If we fall in love with this present world. Because if we're in love with this present world, attending the assemblies is too difficult a thing to ask us to do. Being involved in the work of the church, actually striving to teach the gospel, maybe teaching a class or something of that nature, that's too difficult for us to do because we're in love with the world. We don't have time for those other things. We need to be able to see clearly, brethren, and understand that we do not need to become lovers of this present world. And I think in regard to the situation with Demas, it probably had to do not so much with the things that Paul had mentioned earlier in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, but maybe he was lovers of this present world. Maybe he loved power. Maybe he loved the prestige. Maybe he loved the notoriety of men, and he didn't feel like he was receiving that with Paul. He was kind of under Paul, see? I don't know what the reason was, but Demas forsook him, and he loved this present world. We know that men can come to love the praise, the accolades that other men place upon them. Go to John, the 12th chapter, and look in verses 42 and 43. It says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Why wouldn't they confess Jesus? For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. How many Christians do you know that are like Demas, that have forsaken the Lord because they love this present world? How many Christians do you know that love the praise of men so they do not live their lives in such a way as to attain the praise of God. See, we need to be very, very careful. You know, when Jesus was asked, what is the great commandment? In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, and beginning there in verse 37, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbors as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You see, it's difficult for us to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, if we love the things of this world. If we're in love with the pleasures of this world. If we're in love with all these things that we've spoken about and looked at in regard to the Scripture. Now, we need to realize the choice is ours. We choose whether we're going to give God first place in our life and love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind, or where all these other things are going to take over. And then we wonder sometimes when we choose the other things why we have all these problems in our life. Well, we're following after the wrong things. We have the wrong priorities. We have not aligned things properly in regard to our priorities. Well, how do we manifest the love of God? Hopefully, we would choose the love of God over the love of this present world, over lovers of money, over lovers of pleasure, over all these other things. But how do we manifest our love toward God? It's easy to say, I love you, isn't it? Isn't that, that's some of the easiest words in the English language to say, I love you. But then is it difficult to show by our actions that we actually do love someone that we express that to? Yeah, now that's when it becomes a little bit harder, right, for us. Let's look in John, the 14th chapter. John chapter 14. And look there beginning in verse 15. And Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He might as well have said, if you love me, prove it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, are his commandments something that's too difficult for us to understand? No. They're not so difficult that we can't understand. So Jesus just lays it out there. If you love me, keep my commandments. Look at verse 21. He says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. See, if we have his commandments, we know his commandments, and we strive to keep them, we strive to follow them, we're expressing our love not only for Jesus, we're expressing our love for God and for the sacrifice that God sent on our behalf, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, we're acknowledging that in our life. Look at verses 23 and 24. It says, Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. When's the last time we read the word? Did we just hear it on Sunday morning? Is that the only time we know about the word or hear the word? See, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. You know, that's because if we're trying to keep his word, we're trying to abide in it. We're trying to make the application of it day by day in our life. Sometimes we're successful, sometimes we fail, but we have to know what his word has to say. So if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So if we are failing to keep the word of God, if we're failing to follow the truth, we can say we love God all day long, But he who does not love me does not keep my words. If we don't keep his words, we don't really love God. Now, that's Jesus teaching that. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. We need to make the application in our lives. When you think about children, how does a child show that he loves his parent or is honoring his parent? By being disobedient? By hearing their words and just rejecting what they say and rebelling and going off and doing their own thing? No. We know in Ephesians 6, in verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." You see, obedience is connected to honor. When we obey Christ, it's because we're giving him the proper honor. We're expressing the proper love for him. And just as it does not matter if a child says, I love you, Mom and Dad, and Mom and Dad give them instructions, and then they go off and they disregard it. They hadn't really shown that they love their Mom and Dad. They hadn't manifested that. And that's what God desires for us in our life, to manifest our love for God, to manifest it. Well, what should be the characteristics of love in the life of a Christian? Most here are children of God. Most here have been baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. Most here are part of the body of Christ. So what should be characteristics of the love that we have as Christians? What should be some of the characteristics? Well, let's look at those. Look in Romans, the 12th chapter, and let's look at verse 9. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Here Paul expresses to these Christians, these brethren at Rome, he says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." Our love, according to the scriptures, must be without hypocrisy. In other words, it must be sincere. It must be pure. If we show our love for God by keeping his word, by obeying his commandments, and one day we're on fire for the Lord, we're very consistent in everything we do, and the next day we're as far away from that as we possibly could be. What is that showing in our lives? First of all, inconsistency, that we're not being consistently steadfast, but it's also showing a problem, because sometimes our actions have to do with who we're around. It's not hard for us to display love in an assembly of God's people, is it? Is it much more difficult when you go to work tomorrow or in the military installation tomorrow or at school tomorrow? Is it much more difficult then to display love? Sometimes it is, isn't it? So we need to understand that we should not be without hypocrisy, because when the world views us and they view, one time we're expressing love, but then on the other hand, another time we have no desire to express love, what does the world say? Oh, that's just a hypocrite. You know, they're expressing love when everybody's watching, when everybody's looking. The greatest acts of love are expressed when no one knows. No one knows what the right hand or the left hand is doing in that regard. Look over to Romans, the 13th chapter, verse 10. And we're going to note, the scripture says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love does not seek an opportunity to harm another person, but always seeks what is in the best interest of others. Remember the second commandment that we talked about in Matthew 22:39 was to love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. To have the best interest of others at heart. You know, and I want you to think about something. Sometimes we don't think about when we say, love our neighbors as ourselves. Are we concerned about our own soul? If we are concerned about our own soul, and we want to be in fellowship with God, we want to be pleasing to God, then if I love my neighbors myself, and I want my soul to be right with God, what do I want for my neighbor? I want for their soul to be right with the Lord also, correct? Have we shared the gospel with our neighbors? Do they even know that we're Christians? See, again, we cannot be hypocritical in regard to our love. Love always seeks what is best. Also, we want to note in regard to love that is spoken of in the scriptures, if you go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and look at verses 1 and 2, that love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul wrote, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. How, Paul? With all lowliness, that would be humility, and gentleness or meekness, with long suffering. Well, how do we do that? How do we bear with people in humility and gentleness and meekness and long suffering? Bearing with one another in love. That's how we are able to do that. Love is always willing to bear with. In other words, love is willing to put up with one another. Sometimes there might be things that people do that, you know, just go against your grain. But love will put up with that. So we need to understand, have that understanding. Look at what Paul wrote to the brethren there at Corinth in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and verses 1 through 7. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 7. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Paul, in his letter to Christians here at the church at Corinth, describes the love that they should have in their hearts as Christians. And he describes the love that we need to have. It is a love that is long-suffering. It is a love that's kind. When you think about that long-suffering and kindness, where would we be without God's long-suffering and kindness? In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is God's love? It's long-suffering. What is he waiting on? He's waiting on people who need to repent. He's giving them opportunity to do that. That's what love does. It suffers long, and it is kind. And perhaps the greatest attribute of love, and sometimes often the attribute that we withhold from others in regard to love, is forgiveness. Forgiveness is connected to love. See, God is willing to forgive us because he loved us. Forgiveness makes that connection. Go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and look at verse 32. Paul here, writing to the brethren in Ephesus, says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, it's sad to say, brethren, but sometimes there's a problem, even in the Lord's church, willingness on the part of one Christian to forgive another. That just should not be so. Should not be so. We should be willing to forgive one another. Withholding forgiveness is not an attribute of love. See, God loved us, so he has provided forgiveness. He didn't withhold it. That would not have been a display of his love. So true love is willing to forgive. Are you holding a grudge against someone? You need to get rid of it. You haven't extended forgiveness to a brother or sister in Christ? You need to get rid of it. You need to take care of that. How do I display my example as a Christian? By having the proper love, not only for God, but for his disciples. In other words, we need to have the proper love for one another. Look at John, the 13th chapter, verses 34 and 35. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." He didn't stop there. Why is it new? He says, "As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another, like I have loved you." All men will recognize that. See, our love for one another is a true display of our discipleship. If we are who we say we are, then we must demonstrate our love for each other. And by doing that, we demonstrate our love for the Lord. Well, conclusion. We know the scriptures teach us, it's the truth, that God is love. God is love. And it's true that God has manifested his love for us through his Son. The question is, do we manifest our love for him? Are we manifesting our love for him? Are we being obedient? Are we being the people that God instructs us through his word we have to be? What about our life? What about our example? What about our deeds? Do they show that we love God and that we love one another? The lesson is yours. I want you to consider the great love that God has for us. Maybe you have not taken advantage of the love of God in your life. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus came, he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary so we can have the forgiveness of our sins. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins, to turn from your sins and to turn to Christ and obey him? Are you willing to confess your faith in him, that he is the Son of God? And are you willing to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, so your sins can be washed away and the Lord will add you to the church he purchased with his precious blood, to the church that he is the head of? If you haven't done those things, you haven't taken advantage of the greatest love that's available in this world today. That's the love of God and his Son Jesus. We urge you to do that. Maybe in times past, you've taken advantage of the love of God, but you've strayed from that love. You're not the consistent example of love that you should be. Maybe you've fallen out of love with the Lord and fallen in love with the world. Then we need to repent also if that's the case. If you desire the prayers of the brethren here, any way we could aid you or assist you, make that need known while we stand and while we sing.